Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever tried to tie your shoes with only one hand? It's rather tough, isn't it? You can do it, but it takes a little bit of doing. Or how about buttoning your shirt with just one hand? Or hammering a nail? Or driving a stick shift car? Or maybe even straining some pasta? Those are all things that you could probably figure out how to do with just one hand, but some of them can be rather challenging. But those tasks would all be rather simple if only we were allowed to use two hands. And thus the old saying, two hands are better than one. A saying I think we would all readily agree with. But our gospel reading today would seem to indicate just the opposite. In fact, Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And thus, if your one hand is causing you to sin, two hands are definitely not better than one. For with two hands, you are living a life that is offending God. And thus it would be better for you to cut off that hand and thus to refrain from sinning rather than to keep that hand and to go on sinning. Now, when most people read this text of Scripture, they immediately assume that Jesus is just exaggerating to make a point. In fact, case in point, if you look up this text in the Concordia Self-Study Bible and you go down the page to the commentary section of the Bible, you will see in the commentary section that our Lutheran scholars have called this hyperbole, which is a grammatical term for a figure of speech that uses an exaggeration to make a point. So even our Lutheran scholars consider this to be an exaggeration on Jesus' part. Because, of course, Jesus could not really want us to cut off our hand to stop us from sinning, could he? Of course not. Or at least so most folks think. I disagree. I think Jesus was completely serious. I don't think he was merely exaggerating to make a point. I think he was very graphically illustrating the absolute danger of sin and to what extremes a person should be willing to go to eradicate that sin from their lives. And I hope and I pray that by the end of this message, you'll understand this too. And yet I know the skepticism in you is probably saying, come on, Pastor. You're telling me that God wants me to go out and chop off my hand if my hand caused me to sin, or pluck out my eye, cut off my foot. That's crazy. Doesn't even make sense. Doesn't it? Don't be too sure about that. In 2003, a 27-year-old man by the name of Aaron Ralston got his arm pinned between a large boulder while he was hiking and climbing in the desert of eastern Utah. After 5 nights of being trapped in the canyon all alone, having run out of water, he knew that he was going to die in that canyon unless he took drastic action. Some of you know the story. They made a movie about it. And so with the aid of his trusty pocket knife, he cut off his own arm to free himself from the boulder. He climbed out of that canyon, found help, and he lived to tell his story. In 1993, a 37-year-old bulldozer operator by the name of Donald Wyman, I don't have a photo for him, sorry, was cutting a large tree out in the woods of western Pennsylvania. And as he cut the tree, the trunk snapped back and fell, pinning his leg underneath. Being alone and far from help, he reasoned that his only chance of survival was to cut off his own leg. And so that's what he proceeded to do. And then crawled back to his tractor and drove it miles to find help. And again, he lived to tell his story. 2007, this tiger, the Sumatran tiger, was caught by night camera roaming through the Teso Nilo National Park in Indonesia. It appeared to have gnawed off its front right paw to escape from a trap that had been set. And earlier this year, a young lady in Georgia, you may have read about her, her name is Amy Copeland, she contracted the flesh-eating bacteria known as necrotizing fasciitis from a simple cut that she had received in her leg. The bacteria ravaged her body and nearly killed her. In order to save her life, doctors were forced to cut off both of her hands, her left leg, and her right foot. Jesus said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life crippled than to go with two hands into hell." Why do we say that Jesus is just exaggerating here when he is talking about saving a person from eternal damnation? When there are countless cases of people and animals who are cutting off or chewing off their own body parts to save themselves from temporal death. Which is worse, temporal death or eternal hell? So then why is it that people are serious about cutting off their arms or legs to save their own physical lives, but we assume that Jesus is not serious when he's talking about cutting off hands and feet to save their eternal life? As dangerous as it is to be trapped by a rock in the wilderness or a tree in the woods, as dangerous as it is to have your foot caught in a trap or your body ravaged by a disease, so being stuck in sin is even worse. Because while all of those other things can take your life, sin can take your eternity. There is nothing in all the world more dangerous to your salvation nor more deadly to your heart than sin. Like a flesh-eating bacteria, sin eats away at your spirit and your soul and your faith. And if it's not cut out from your life, it will kill you. And it will separate you from God for eternity. And so if the only way to get sin out of your life is to cut off your hand or pluck out your eye or chop off your foot, then do it. It is better, as I said in last week's sermon, to enter heaven maimed than hell whole. But that's not the only way to overcome sin. In fact, it's not even an effective way. Because as Jesus would say in Matthew 15, out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false testimony and slander. These are what make a man unclean. So you see, even if you were to cut off your hand or pluck out your eye or chop off your foot, you'd still sin. And we'd still be in danger of the fires of hell. And so we are left with only one way to overcome sin. Only one way to reach that eternal life with God. And that is through, and that is by the blood of Jesus poured out for us, an offering for us on the cross. Our sin is overcome and our eternal life guaranteed for no other reason than the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Remember Isaiah's words in chapter 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. But that forgiveness doesn't mean that we should then regard sin lightly. That doesn't mean we can carelessly and callously continue to sin. By no means. Rather, we should make every effort to cut sin out of our lives, recognizing that it was our sin that put Jesus on that cross. In gratitude to God for what Jesus has done for us, we should diligently work to cut sin out of our lives. Not in order to be saved, but because by God's grace, we already are saved. In the name of Jesus and for his sake, amen.